Blog Talk Radio.
Praise team, join your life. We're going to do a song that's a part of our worship. How many know he's wonderful? Put your hands together and sing this.
Again, to be back in the house of the Lord.
session that we're getting ready to be starting on, dealing with distracted by good. We start, ended with the last lesson that we talked about, God's house lying in ruins. And how many of you know there's distractions, but you can also be distracted by something good? Distractions will come, and then there's good distractions that will come, that will occur in our lives as well. And we need to understand something tonight as Christians. We have many responsibilities that are proper. We have many responsibilities. We welcome you tonight tuning in via our Facebook Live as we deal with this lesson tonight. Good. I want to come and just begin to just do the introduction. I'm just going to do the introduction tonight as we're coming on a little later than we normally do, but we thank God we see you all coming in, joining in, sharing in. Thank God for each and every one of you, our dear brothers and sisters. Share this with someone. Let them know the bishop is back. He's off vacation. He's back, and he's ready to teach the word of God once again. Luke chapter number 10, where we're going to go in our reading. That's going to be our main scripture of our reading. God bless each and every one of you, Pastor. We see you all. Prophetess Robin, amen. Sister Mathis and Brother Dawkins, Pastor Buster, God bless you. Brother Knight, we thank God for you all tuning in, waving. Thank God for you. Amen. Go ahead and let somebody know we want to get into this lesson tonight. Distracted by good, letting people know there are some distractions that we will see, that we'll face, that will come in our lives. But how many of you know there are distractions of good? A lot of times we say distractions come from something that's bad, but then there are some distractions that are by good. And as Christians, we have many responsibilities that are proper. We have responsibilities as parents. We have responsibilities as spouses, as our children. We have responsibilities. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 5 and 8. We have some responsibilities. And a lot of times people don't want to uphold their responsibilities or live up to the responsibilities, but you have some responsibilities. 1 Timothy chapter number 5, verse 8, it says, "But those who won't care for their relatives, especially in their own household, have denied the true faith. Such people are worse than unbelievers." Look, like I said, you're worse than an unbeliever, because healthy homes remain the best possible training environment for children. When you have a healthy home, that's one of the best environments that you can have for your children, a healthy home, because you're teaching them. They are seeing how things should be, what things should be done, and how to get them done. They're seeing a healthy home. When people have homes that are so messed up and crazy, people, the children pick up these little habits, because that's what they are seeing, this in the home. If the home is unhealthy, they're going to pick up some unhealthy habits. Come on in here, somebody. I've seen people watch this. I've seen people put videos, and people send me videos talking about help make this go viral. I've seen people with their children, babies. Babies. I'm talking about sitting there with them, having them to smoke a blunt. Okay, for those of you who don't know what a blunt is, marijuana, weed, that ganja, that tote, that stuff that is illegal in some states. In some states, they're making it legal. But I believe, I don't care what state it is, whether it's legal or not, I know that it's not legal for a child, a little baby, to sit there, that baby about 2 years old, whatever the case, and smoke some weed. But that's an unhealthy home. That's an unhealthy household. You have your child right there teaching them how to smoke. That's a sad indictment. give us a sad indictment. Healthy homes remain the best possible training environment for children. It is the best training environment. The Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from him. Huh? When it comes to caring for relatives and honoring parents, children must, children take most of their cues, watch this, by watching how mom or dad honor their grandparents. If they see you operating, they see how you're treating the grandparents, guess what? They're going to learn how to treat the parents right. Oh, God, this worked out just right. I'm telling you, this worked out just right for me because I saw something today that was disturbing to me. And I mentioned it to Lady Wright as we were sitting there in the restaurant today eating something. It really disturbed me to see this, how a child was talking to her mother. Huh? And the mother wasn't a young mother, but an elderly mother in her 80s or whatever the case may be like that. And how she was talking to her like she really was agitated with her mother. How in the world can you be agitated with the one that brought you, that birthed you into this world? And watch, I was going to pay for their food. But once I saw this, it actually just turned me away. I didn't want to, I was like, I'll just pay for mothers, but I won't pay. But I just didn't do it at the time because it turned my stomach, you know. Here it is. She come up there and tell me, well, no, she gonna pay for the tip. I don't need no money back for a tip. She gonna take care of the tip. And she said, well, what do you want to drink? Well, what y'all got to drink? The same thing they had here last week. The same thing they got. This is how she's talking to her mother. Her mother is up in age. And it's a sad indictment when you do that. Honor thy mother and thy father, that thy days may be long upon them. It really disturbed me to see how, I said, that's why things aren't going well for her. And I know this. Things aren't going well for her because she's not treating her mother right. And you got to get to the point. If your child see you talking back to your mother, cussing your mother out, I've seen this happen. I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen in my families. Not in my immediate family. So that won't work right there. But in our family, I've saw this, how people talk to their mother, cuss the mother out, even to the point want to fight the mother. I've seen this happen. Now, the kids grow up looking at this. Now, they're talking the same way. They believe that they can talk to grandmama the same way. Because they see mama or dad in them doing it. You got to have a healthy home, a healthy environment. If our children see the way we as parents care for our parents, they will understand the importance of such honor for us in the future. Come on. If they see you, if they see you, what? I knew I had some glasses in here somewhere. Somebody done took them out. Somebody done cleaned up and took out my glasses. Who took my glasses? They gone. Somebody done took my other pair of glasses out of here. I knew I had some glasses in there. Y'all excuse me. I'm trying to see. Ain't none in there. I knew I had them in here. That's why I kept them at. Unless I can't see them. One of the two. It's one of the two. Y'all bear with your boy. Yeah, somebody came in and cleaned up and cleaned my glasses too. Took them too, gone somewhere. Yeah. But we'll get through it. Huh? But if your children see you acting right towards your parents, treating your parents right, guess what? When you get up in age and something happened to you, they're going to do the same thing for you because they see you had taken care of your parents. So they'll do the same thing for you when it comes to that point because they'll understand this is how it's supposed to be done. Because there may come a time when I'm going to need some help. Amen?
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. I see your hand. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It goes that way. You get hooked up with somebody and they don't treat their mama right. Huh? They definitely won't treat you right as a woman. They talk to their mama any kind of way. Huh? They'll talk to you any kind of way. Come on, are you here? Huh? Healthy, practical honor becomes, watch this, a priceless gift that one generation gives to another. Disrespect and lack of care provide harmful examples that will eventually turn on us. I'm telling you, we got to understand. Sometimes these things can turn on you. It will. Mother said, yeah, it will turn on you. Huh? We think that we're getting by, we're getting away with some stuff. It will turn on you because what will happen when you're doing like that, your kids turn around and want to fight you, beat you, and do everything else with you, cuss you out. Then now you want to get to the point of discipline. You don't talk to me like that. Well, you talk to grandmama like that. Come on. People, they have a tendency, our children have a tendency of doing some of the things that they see us doing. And a lot of times we think some of these things are amusing, they're fun, you know, oh yeah, that's so sweet. No, it ain't sweet when it's happening to you. Your baby around there cussing, everything cussing you, oh look at this, they just cussing their little soul out and everything. Now when they start cussing you out in front of people and everything, disrespecting you, now you want to try to discipline them. But a minute ago you thought it was cute. Y'all ain't with me. Huh? We understand some things. We understand that every now and then this is what happens. He not down there. I done look, you done moved him. Yeah, she did the cleaning. Lady Wright did the cleaning. Yeah, she done moved them. Come on, they not there unless I didn't see them, because I sure ain't see the brown specks. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. She cleaned his house. She sure cleaned it. She cleaned the house real good and cleaned my glasses with them. I had some that just specifically put a pair there, so if I forget them, I know I look. So y'all bear with your boy. Yeah, y'all bear with your boy. I'm doing the best I can. Leticia said, get the bishop some glasses. Yeah, y'all get the bishop some help. But you understand, people see you doing it, they're going to do the same thing to you. It's going to backfire on you. Huh? We have responsibilities. We have responsibilities as parents. We have responsibilities as spouses or children. There's responsibilities. Just look at somebody tell you, you got a responsibility too. Go to Colossians chapter number 3. Colossians chapter number 3. And look, I'm just doing the introduction tonight. I know we came on a little late, but I'm just doing the introduction tonight. Amen. Disobedience can be a generational curse. Pastor Gallup, we see you on there. Tracy Pope, my greatest joy is having my mother in my life. At this point in my life, it is a blessing for me and my kids. That's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. It's a blessing. Now, I can see that because it's lit up. It's a little bright. I can see that. Hey, man, just these words I'm having a problem with on these words. But when you see this, It can be a curse. We have responsibilities. Let's go to Colossians chapter number 3. Look at verse number 18. 3, verse number 18. We have responsibility as spouses. Y'all want me to skip that part? Wives, submit to your husbands, and it is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Y'all watch this. Paul's giving some order. He's setting some order here, some rules. For the husbands and wives, parents and children, slaves and owners, is what he's doing here. Wives, submit to your husbands as it is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. As it is fitting for those who belong to the Lord, is what I said earlier. A lot of times, people don't have to do anything for you. But those who are submitted to the Lord don't have a problem doing anything that they're supposed to do in the kingdom. When I know the Lord, the God that I serve, and I'm doing what he's called me to do, I have no problem doing anything for the kingdom. That's because I'm in the spirit realm. But when I'm in the flesh, when I get mad at you, I'm gone. I ain't doing nothing. Now I'm talking fleshly. Because you made me upset or mad. Now I'm in my flesh and I won't do anything, and I'm gonna give you a piece of my mind. Because you trying to tell me what I need to do? No one have to tell you what you need to do when you're in the spirit realm. You know what you have to do. And you do it because you know who you serve. And you know he's going to take care. Through thick and thin, he'll never leave you. He'll never walk out on you. He'll never turn his back on you. He'll never forsake you, for he's there all the time, walking with you, talking with you. He's there holding you up. When it seems like you're about to go down, he'll lift you right back up and tell you, oh no, you ain't going down that easy. I won't let that happen to you. Because you do things for my glory. I get the glory out of this. Are you with me? Husbands, love your wives. And never treat them harshly. Wives are supposed to submit themselves unto the husband that it is fitting before the Lord. For those that belong to him. I don't have no problem. As a wife, you should not have a problem submitting unto your husband. Watch this. When he's following the steps of God. And you're doing what the Lord has told you to do. I'm doing it because the Lord has directed me to do this. Now, turning around, husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. You wouldn't want nobody to treat you harshly. You wouldn't want nobody to talk to you crazy. Try to embarrass you in front of people. Why you want to try to embarrass them in front of people? I told you to get in here right now and cook me something to eat. This ain't what I wanted. This cold. Don't take this back. I'm talking about you treating them like they're nothing. Come on. Don't treat them harshly. Who you think you are? You do what I tell you to do. I'm the man of the house. Come on. Be good at that. Come on. I'm the man. You do what I tell you to do. And you're treating them harshly. If you were the man in the house, you wouldn't treat them that way. If you knew you was the man. Because somewhere else you don't have authority, so you try to have authority over what you say belongs to you. But the woman is something precious, it belongs to God. God just lent them to you. Okay, when he created man, he created man in his image and his likeness, and he said it's not good for man to be alone, so he brought man, woman. The woman is a gift from God. That's God's gift to man. And he did not intend for us to treat it harshly. Therefore, when you're working like that, you have no problem but to have a great relationship. When you're coming together, there's no problem but having a great relationship. When things are going wrong, it's because something is happening. Someone is not doing their part. Someone is trying to outdo somebody or outsmart somebody. So now all of this confusion, everything starts to happen in relationships. That's another subject. Another deeper subject. I have to get on that one later. To go in deeper. Yeah, for y'all that's following, that's another subject. I have to get on that one later. Yeah. And go into that when he's talking about submit yourselves and as Christ loved the church, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church. There's some things that we got to go right into, because when he starts talking about that, he start talking about man. When woman do things, you want woman to submit unto you, and you submit unto the woman, is because you've taken stuff on your shoulders, and you put it on your shoulders. You've taken, as he did on the cross, he put it on his shoulders. If we're not putting things on our shoulders, if we're not taking responsibility to what we're supposed to take responsibility to, how in the world do we want a woman to submit unto us, y'all? That's a whole nother subject, But if I'm taking on responsibility, then the woman have no other choice but to submit unto me, because that's what God is directing us to do. Huh? If things go wrong, it's on my shoulder, because I made that decision. It's on my shoulder. I'm taking that. I'm eating that. That's my fault. Amen. But when I try to put it on somebody else, like Adam tried to put it on Eve, that woman that you give. I'm trying to. A lot of times we try to put stuff on the other person instead of taking responsibility for ourselves. In our own areas where we've messed up, where we're messing up. Huh? Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Always, always obey your parents. This pleases the Lord. Huh? Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. Don't do it. Don't provoke them. Don't aggravate them. And see, sometimes as men, we can really aggravate our children, especially the boys. Come on, I see it all the time. We can really act, because we are trying to push them to a level, come on, of something that we wanted to do or wanted to be, but we didn't quite make it. It didn't quite turn out that way. So we try to push our kids to that particular point, to that particular level, and that's not their gift. That's not their talent, or whatever the case may be. And I see there's a lot happening when it comes to the sports arena. Man, we want to push our sons. I'm talking about, you're going to do this, you're going to do, we push them to the edge, and we aggravate them to the point they don't want to do anything. And I know sometimes we see the talent, and we see some things in certain people and see it in them, which they can't see in themselves. Just like God sees some stuff in us which we can't see for ourselves, so he pushes us. And there's a time for pushing, come on. There's a time for pushing. There's a time for encouraging. But God doesn't aggravate us to the point where we're just going to give up, throw in the towel, don't want to do anything. This is what he's saying. Don't get to the point where you aggravate them so they don't want to do anything. Amen? So we have responsibilities. Can this class say responsibilities? Not only that, watch this. Watch this thing in Colossians chapter number 3. We also have responsibility as parents, as spouses, children. We also have responsibilities as employees and employers. Verse number 22. Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything you do. Obey them that have rule over you. Come on, you earn your job. You got to do what they tell you to do. You got to come when they tell you to come. Dress how they tell you to dress. This is how you dress on this particular job. That's how you have to dress. You have to come. You have to be there. Obey your earthly masters. Obey the masters. The slaves had to do what the masters tell them to do. Go out there and plow that field, you go out there and plow that field. Some things they had to do that they didn't want to do. Oh, I won't get into that. Yeah, some things they had to do that they didn't want to do. But they had to obey them. Watch, if they didn't obey them, there were some consequences. They'll tie you up and whip you. There were some consequences. If you did something wrong, there were some consequences. Say, obey your masters. Huh? I see you. They say, one thing that we do, we still trying to do, we still trying to text and drive. Law tell us no texting and driving. Obey the laws of the land. Obey your masters. Come on, in the state of Georgia, you can't even have your phone in your hand. Not even sitting in your lap. Come on, I ride by folk, they fall just be all day. Didn't y'all know that's the law now? Then when you get stopped, what you stopping me for? Now, you're breaking the law. Now, you want to start something. Now you want to say that they coming after you because you black. No, they're coming after you because you're breaking the law right now. You got the phone in your hand. They treat me any kind of way. There's times that they do things that's wrong. Yeah, I ain't saying that, but there's times that they do. But then there's some things that you do that's wrong. Now you're trying to justify your wrongness. When the law tells you that's not what you're supposed to do. But I'm going to do it anyway. Can't nobody tell me I can't use my phone. I pay this bill. Ain't there one of them pay this phone bill. Yeah, you pay that phone bill and you also going to be paying that ticket. Come on, you're going to be paying some money. When you break the law, you're going to pay some money. Obey your masters in everything that you do. Try to please them all the time. Not just when they are watching you. O-M-G. See, a lot of times that's like it is in the church. Folks try to please the leader just when they're watching them. They got eyes on you. Don't just try to please them when folk are watching you. Oh, there goes a big boss man, so I'm going to come over here act like I'm working real hard. And I ain't going to tell Sally Sue over there, that boss man coming down, the real boss, big boss man coming down, I'm going to let him catch her. Come on, but you were just doing the same thing. But now you're in a cubicle that you can see, and they can't see, so you ain't going to try to help them. You're going to try to act like you just a saint employee. Then once they're gone, and you are right back. Come on. I've seen it today, all the time. When the big boss man not there, I'm talking about the workers, they just do whatever they want to do. You don't hardly get no service. I'm talking about they walking out the back, cell phones, talking on the cell phones, checking messages, all that stuff, doing any and everything because what? The boss man is not there. But he said, don't just do this when they're watching you. Serve them sincerely because of your reverent fear for the Lord. I'm going to do what I have to do because I fear the Lord and what he can do and what he will do to me, what he will allow me to go through. I'm doing this because of the Lord. I'm doing this because the Lord can give and the Lord can take away. And I want the Lord to do more giving than taking. Who am I talking to? Yeah, I want the Lord to do more giving than taking. I don't want the Lord to be taking stuff away from me. But I want him to give things to me. But if he happened to take something away from me, let me learn the lesson where he won't take nothing else from me. Are you with me? God bless you all. We see you all tuning in tonight. A Wondrous Word broadcast, a radio broadcast, and those of you tuning in live via Facebook Live, and those of you here on campus tonight, we're dealing with distracted by good in our lesson tonight. Being distracted by good. Look what else it says. Let's go to verse 23. Look what it says. Be willingly at whatever you do. When you do something, do it willingly. Do it because you want to do it. When you come into the kingdom of God and you submit into the kingdom of God, you ought to do the work for God willingly. You ought to do it because that's what you want to do. You don't want to do it because somebody making you do it. You don't want to do it because somebody looking at you and expecting you to do it because that's your area, that's your field. If you don't want to do it, you won't do a good job in it. I'd rather you not do it and do something half done. When you don't want to do it. Because what you want to do is what? You don't put your all in all into it. If I don't want to do it, I'm just going to do something fast to get it on out the way to say, look, I did. But it's half done. Work willingly at whatever you do as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. You're on your job, do it as you're doing it for the Lord and not people. I'm doing this because I'm willing to work this. I ask God, why? This is why you should do it as unto God and not people, because you ask God to bless you with this particular job or position or whatever the case may be. You ask God to deliver you or to do whatever the dilemma that you're saying. You ask God to do it. Now he's done it for you. Now you ought to work willingly at what you asked him to deliver you from or out of, what you asked him to give you. I'm going to do it willingly, Lord. I asked you for this job, so I'm not going to come up showing up late every day. I asked you for this. Come on, God gave it to you because you asked. Now, you need to go in there doing it as you're doing it for the Lord and not for people. I'm doing it because God asked. I asked God for this. He gave it to me. Now, look. This is why I'm doing it. And I ain't going to do a half-hand job. Because I'm grateful to God, I knew I wasn't even qualified. Come on in here, somebody. I wasn't qualified. I was the lowest one on the totem pole. But look, I'm up here in this position right now. I'm in management position. I just walked in the door. I know I don't deserve this. But because of the glory of God and the favor on my life, God blessed me to have it, so I'm going to work willingly. As I'm working for him. I'm truly trying to do the best I can. I'm doing it willingly.
Good job in my whole lifetime.
Don't you
put that in me?
That's right.
You don't own no job.
When you're faithful over a few things, just the truth, he's going to make you ruler. He's going to bless you over more, many, much more. Mm-hmm. And when you do it, you say, look, you got to do it from your heart. I'd rather you do something from your heart because I know it's going to be your best. Than doing it from your head because you always complain. Do this here, got to do this here. Now, okay, I just do this. You're just doing it from your head, just doing at the spur of the moment, putting stuff here, putting stuff there. But when you're doing it from your heart, you're taking time out to make sure this is dressed right, dressed, this thing is slayed out right. I'm talking about, ooh, yeah, when they walk in, they're going to see this, the decorations, everything is done. I'm talking about you making sure that everything is done right. Oh, I see some, that's a little crooked right there. Let's straighten that up right there. Come on, let's do this, because I want to see the kingdom of God at its best. Want to see it at its best. Huh? Come on, work willingly, whatever you do, as though you're working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. And that the master you are serving is Christ. You're doing it as you're doing it under him. That's why he says promotions come from the east nor the west, but promotions come from the Lord. You can be fresh in the company. You're doing it as if you're doing it unto the Lord, for the Lord, and not for man, not for the benefits of man. Come on. When you're doing something, you're doing something from the heart that I'm doing this to help people. It's not all about what I'm going to get out of it, because I'm going to get something out of it knowing that I helped somebody else to get to a point where they weren't. Huh? They weren't there in the beginning. They was here. Now they're there. That's the joy of doing things from the heart, working and willingly doing things to see people be elevated. So when I'm doing it like that, then God will come in and say, okay, since you ain't got no motive or nothing on your end, you doing this because you love to do this, you ain't trying to brown nose nobody, you ain't trying to pull nobody down, you ain't trying to do this and take somebody out, you ain't trying to block nobody, let me go ahead on and bless you. God knows how to bless you when you stop trying to block somebody else. Y'all, huh? Huh? Come on. He'll bless you when you get to the point where you stop trying to block somebody else. He'll heal you when you stop trying to hurt somebody.
Oh, God.
Huh? God will do some things for you. Hmm? Come on. When you stop trying to tear somebody else down. Come on. He'll build you up. He'll elevate you. Anybody here want to be elevated? Do whatever you're doing it. That you're doing it for the Lord. Do it with joy. Do it with gladness. And watch what God will do for you. There's some situations you may find yourself in right now. But when you begin to do something with joy for the Lord, you'll find yourself coming out of certain situations. Yes, it is.
Yes,
God. Huh?
Hallelujah.
Yes, you're right. You can stop your own blessing. You can stop your own blessing. You around here trying to block somebody else from getting their promotion. You around here trying to lie on them, telling them, look, they ain't doing nothing. You around here trying to be a skeezer and all this here stuff. You know, you're trying to make yourself look good. But if somebody really got sight and got vision, they can see that you're not really who you say you are. Because anytime a person try to make themselves look good above somebody else, they're not the person whom they're trying to proclaim themselves to be. not all that good. Maybe I need to watch you. Come on, because if you're trying to tear somebody else down, what do you think you'll do to me when I'm out of your sight? What do I think you'll say about me when I'm not around you? Come on, because as soon as you can talk about somebody else, you'll talk about the individual, you're talking about somebody else. Because you're going to find somebody else that don't mind listening to me. Because, you know, there are some people that don't mind listening to people that's always talking about somebody. Be waiting to hear. What you got for me today? What you got for me? People just ready. Ready for it. Yeah, thank you. I'm trying to do the best. I'm trying to do the best I can. Remember, watch this, that the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward. I want God to be the one blessing me. Watch, because if God is the one blessing me, I don't have to worry about him taking it back from me when I'm doing it from my heart. But if I'm looking for man to be the blessing, watch. Because if man gives me the promotion, then man will do whatever he needs to do to get me from that promotion. He'll show enough try to demote me. Come on. Cause watch this, yeah? Anytime you make it mad, when they got one of their good friends or buddies or one of their good personnel that come hang around and come in the business, guess what they gonna try to do? Because they are the ones that will go along to get along. People know where the anointing is. People know, watch. People know where the anointing is. The devil know where the anointing is. He know the anointed one. Come on. Who are you? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? He knows what the anointing is. Watch now. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? Let me say it again. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? Do you know who you are? Sometimes we don't know who we are. You gotta know there's an anointing on your life. Yet I know who I am. What? I know whose I am. And because of that, I don't have to prove it to nobody. How do I prove it without proving it? I'm glad you asked. I will let my light shine before men that they may see my good work and glorify the Father which is in heaven. I don't have to prove it. You just look at it. That's why the enemy knows where the anointing is. But the thing is, do you know that there's an anointing on your life? And when you don't know there's an anointing on your life, he'll tear you apart. Throw everything at you, even the kitchen sink. Because he knows the rules. try to trick the Savior, what do you think he's going to do with you? What do you think he'll do with me? He didn't mind trying to trick Jesus. But when you don't know who you are, you'll give in. Cast yourself down. I know you got power to call legions of angels to come save you. I know you're hungry. Maybe this is his stone, huh? Make it bread. I know you're hungry. Come on, look, I'll give you all of this. I don't have to call down legions because I am the legion. Huh? I don't have to make this stone bread because I am the bread of life. Huh? I don't have to bow down to you and you give me everything because everything in this world belongs to me already. When I know that, I don't have to prove nothing to you. I don't have to prove a thing because I know who I am. You got to know who you are in the Lord. Verse 25 of Colossians chapter 3, verse 25. But if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong you have done. You ought to tell somebody, you ain't going to get away with it. You ain't going to get away with it. You won't get away with it. When you do what is wrong, you will be paid back, for the wrong you have done. For God has no favorites. There's no favorites when you're doing wrong. You think you're going to get off? You're going to get over? No, God ain't making you do his favorites for doing wrong. You're going to get it back. And see, a lot of times we don't even know when it's coming back at us. That's good gospel right there. We don't even know when God is paying us back for the wrong that we've done. We're too busy trying to put it on something else. We got so many other excuses. I don't know. You should know why you're going through what you're going through right now. Because you done did some wrong and you're getting paid back. In that area where you're going through, you mistreated somebody, now somebody mistreating you. Come on, you lied on somebody, now somebody lying on you. You backstabbed somebody, now somebody backstabbing you. You know why you're going through what you're going through. Come on, because we've done some stuff that was wrong. You've taken some things from somebody, now somebody taking some things from you. You mistreated somebody, now you're being mistreated. Huh? You didn't treat your parents right, now your children are treating you right. You didn't cuss somebody out, now somebody done cussed you out. You didn't cut somebody off in the street, now somebody done cut you off in the street. Y'all ain't talking to me. You done hung up on somebody, now somebody done hung up on you. Huh? You done looked at somebody crazy, now folks looking at you crazy. Y'all ain't talking. Huh? You done talked about somebody else coming, now they talking about yours. I just had to throw that one in for free. It's coming back. You're going to get paid back. Look at somebody say, you'll get paid back. Come on. Huh? You done cheated on your tax, now you done took it back. Man, they done took my whole income tax check. Huh? I'm right here. Colossians chapter number 3, verse 25. It tells us if you do what is wrong, you will be paid back for the wrong that you have done. For God has no favorites. Yeah, be sooner than you think. You don't know. You may think, you said some folks really think they've gotten over on a lot of people. Then all of a sudden, down the line, here it comes. Things start happening one after another. Then you come around, well, that was supposed to happen, and you know, that stuff, that, no, it wasn't supposed to happen. Huh? Some things aren't supposed to happen when they happen, but they happen because of what you've done previously. Mm-hmm, that's the word. The word tells us that we will reap what we sow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all go on and share. Y'all go on and share. Let somebody know your boy is hot tonight because we're done in the dark. I'm just in the introduction. I'm just doing the introduction tonight. I'm almost finished with the introduction. That's all. The introduction. What's done in the dark will sure enough come out in the light. You think you're hiding. You think you're getting away. But sooner or later, you're going to slip up and get caught. Huh? You will get caught. You will slip up. That's why a liar got to keep on lying, because after a while, they don't even know what lie they've told. And they get caught up in their lies. A cheater get caught up in their cheating. Hmm? An abuser get caught up in the abuse. You will get caught. Come on. Masters, chapter number 4. This is the last verse in this one. Masters, what it says, be just and fair to your slaves. Remember that you also have a master that's in heaven. Come on, a boss always got a boss. Somebody's over you. Come on. And you think because you started the business, that you don't have a boss. You still have a boss, Mr. IRS. You still got somebody over you, because if you don't do what you're supposed to do with your taxes, you go into jail. Come on. And remember, it says you got a boss, you got a master that's in heaven. You got somebody that's looking over you, because I've seen many people that made it in fortune and fame that fell down, that have lost it. And you know one thing about it, me and one of my colleagues in the barbershop was talking about something the other day, yesterday, talking about the scene, one of the guys that used to play on this sitcom working in a grocery store. And you know, some women make fun at him because he's working in a grocery store. As long as he's working. And the one that took the picture probably don't even have a job. You know, you can go through some stuff. Watch, because I just told you, you're going to reap what you sow. You don't know what you're going to go through. Anybody can go through some stuff. Anybody can have problems. Anybody can have issues. When you in an area of living a lifestyle like that, and you get introduced to certain things in life, and you get this habit, you get this problem, then things start going down for you. That's why you need the word of God in you to help pull you out of some stuff. You need some people around you that's going to be positive, that's going to help you get back on track. That's why the Bible says, if you find a brother overtaken in a fault, those of you that are spiritual, restore such a one. And the reason why people are not being restored is because there are no spiritual folk around that's bringing them back to the fold. There's a lot of hypocrites that's professing that they're spiritual. And the same ones that's professing that they're spiritual are the main ones that's cutting people down. Because we got to remember, we hadn't been good all our lives. We still aren't good. We still slip up sometime and fall sometime. We still want to get ghetto sometime. Come on and talk to me. Come on, it's still in us because we're in the flesh. And because we're in the flesh, things are subject to pop up at any time. But if we don't allow the Spirit to overtake us, to control us, we allow the flesh to jump out. And when we allow the flesh to jump out, we feed the enemy when we allow the flesh to jump out. Because the enemy can't live unless he has some flesh. Y'all ain't talking. The enemy can't operate unless he has some flesh. So the more I give into the flesh, the more I give power to the enemy. The devil gets more power when I open up my flesh to him and I submit my flesh to him. He gets more power. So that because of that, now I'm doing the things of the flesh. But when I get in the spirit realm, the spirit realm overtakes my flesh, and the enemy has to flee, because when I resist the enemy has to flee from me, because the spirit realm, the spirit man has taken over, and because the spirit man has taken over, God now is in control through the Holy Spirit in my life. Now I'm walking in the light as God has called me to walk in, and now I'm able to do the things that God has called me to do, be what God wants me to be, say what he wants me to say, and deliver it how he wants me to deliver it, whether people want to hear it or not. Yes. We got to understand, we can be distracted by some good. Sometimes what is good can get in the way of what is your best. Let me say that again. Sometimes your good can get in the way of what is better. Because a lot of us have just settled for good. I'm good. Yeah. Come on, we say, yeah, I'm good. We try to get spiritual. We try to get like, I learned to be a bound. I learned to be a base. Whatever state I am content with what I have. I'm good with what I got. But no, I'm never good with what I got because I want better. I want my good getting in my way of my better or my greater. When all fail to properly prioritize our activities, when we allow our good to get in the way of our better, we fail to properly prioritize our activities. We don't put it into planning. We fail to prioritize our priorities, and properly prioritize our priorities and our activities. That's why things are messed up. That's why things don't work out the way we think they should work out, because we fail to put things in proper perspective. We fail to put a plan. We used to say it like this here in the fraternity, the 12 P's, piss poor planning promotes piss poor performance. Piss poor performance promotes pain.
Next Tuesday, we will be back.
So let somebody know. Around, come in around this 7:11, around that time, 7:15, come on. I'm looking to have a great time in the Lord, and we're thanking God for each and every one of you as we sing. Once you're in the area, feel free to come on by and share with us. Yes, we see you. Whatever it is, one has to step out on faith. Yes, what he said. I got this one. Said, whatever it is, one has to step out on faith and claim it in the name of Jesus. Now, once you do that, you got to wait on your blessings to come. When you step out, now, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall not have wings of evil. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait, I say, on the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. We see you. Elder brother, we see you all. God bless you all. God keep you all. And look, we ask that you come on back next week, next Tuesday. We'll be back. Amen. And join us if you're in the area here in Douglas, Georgia, 180 Green Oak Street, the Cathedral of True Praise. We'd love to have you as our guest. And God bless you. God keep you. Heaven smile upon you. Here's our prayer.